ever give to thee. Am I loud and clear to you? You can all hear me. I just want to welcome you all this morning in the house of our Father. Amen. God is good. God is good. Thank you. God is good all the time. Before we go ahead, we need to remind the mothers in our midst this morning, it is Mother's Day. If you are sitting next to a mom, say, it is Mother's Day today. Thank you. Though it's not mentioned in the Bible, but somewhere in Deuteronomy it says, honor thy father and? And also Jesus, when he was hanging at that cross, those were some of his last words. He said to John, brother, look after this lady. He was concerned about his mother. But that's not my topic today. I just wanted to remind you that it's Mother's Day. Recently, during one of my visits in the hospital, I visited a woman patient. And the chaplain who was going around with me, introducing me to different patients, asked this lady, are you affiliated to any religion? She shrugged her face and said, not really. I don't think that's not necessary. I live according to my feelings. I was burning inside me with the passion of Christ. I wanted to explain to this lady. I said, I will call the prophet Isaiah to come and tell you about God's mind. But you know, in this situation, when you're in a hospital atmosphere, you are not allowed to preach to patients or to tell them about your religion unless they ask you. So we carried on, but already my mind was disturbed. People, do they live according to their feelings or according to their faith in God? This lady is not alone in such a situation. There are people out there who don't know what they are doing, who don't know whether there is a God. They live according to their feelings. Others have come up with this statement. I've tried to go to church. Nothing works. I've tried to read what they call the Bible. There's nothing that changes. Above all, I've even tried to pray day in, day night. There's no change. So I might as well live according to my feelings. But such people are not alone. This same disease has also crept in to the wonderful Christians. The Christian people, some are torn in between. They are divided in their faith. They really don't know what they believe in. They are divided about their faith. There is one thing why we struggle with our faith. It's because we operate according to our feelings. So there's now no difference with us and people out there who think there is a God. We say there is a God. So you hear the difference. Out there they say maybe there is a God. But in here we say there is a God. So the super Christians, when everything is going hunky-dory, they are super Christians. But when they are weighed now with day-to-day proceedings of life, they are weighed down. In true sense, they doubt. God desires us to work in faith, not with our feelings. When we live by faith, we live within a promise. But when we live according to our feelings, we live in an emotional prison. We are a captive of our own emotions. In the Bible story this morning that we read about, right? I want you to picture, forget about what you learned in Sunday school. Forget about what you have learned before in another church about this gentleman. You are hearing about him for the first time. Okay? So picture that in your hearing today. So this guy, he is about to live according to his feelings, but not according to his faith. He has created a prison around himself. This is his family. At night, he wouldn't sleep. What was bothering him? He was saying, oh, look at my age. I'm advancing in age, and I've got no heir. You remember what we learned the other time about this guy? He was so rich. A lot of livestock, minerals as well, and slaves. So he was worried who was going to take over. Not only that, the wife was also bothering him. Look, God has closed my womb. I don't have any children. We've read about this man this morning. His name is Abraham. This morning, I want to use this privilege and claim that Christians, we need to free ourselves from such emotional prisons. So, I want to say this morning, set yourself free. Say to your neighbor, set yourself free from this chaos. Set yourself free from this chaos. Say to your neighbor, please. Set yourself free from this chaos. Yes, we have got chaos where we live. Gentlemen, you hear this story that we heard this morning. This was a family of three people. But look what's happening. There was a servant, and there was a wife, and there was the head of the family, Abraham. There's always supposed to be a head of a family, ladies and gentlemen. Let's agree. Yes, I agree with equal rights, but there must be a head of the family where we've got to go and say, hey, bro, things are not working here. What do we do? Okay? So, this is what was supposed to happen in this family. But it's not happening that way. So this morning, I want to bring to you the three P's that was in this family that destroyed the family. The first one is a problem. The second P is the proposal. The third P is the price that resulted in sin. The Bible says, now verse 1 and 2. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I, have that word in your mind as we go along, I can build a family together. Poor Abram, oh, I feel pity for this fella. He agreed to Sarai, and thereby they are creating a problem. But in God's eyes, that's not a problem. God uses your problems and make them peaceful ideas. But Sarai is already creating a problem. He says, go and sleep with my servant. Problem number two is proposal. She is proposing for this to happen. Yes, that's not God's plan. It's Sarai who is proposing this. It's not even Abraham's plan. It's Sarai's problem. Third problem, Hagar runs away because there is no peace at home. God will use these three P's to bring harmony where there is no harmony. God will use these three P's to bring peace where there is no peace. Now, Sarai is reading between the lines. She's making herself maybe a little angel. She wants to solve. There's an equation in the family. Because she knew Abraham was told by God some time back in chapter 14 what God said to Abraham. I'll bless you. You will have a lot of descendants. I think it's not said in the Bible, but I think he went and told his wife. Oh, well, God has spoke to me. He said this is going to happen. So the wife was now calculating. Oh, so many years have gone by. But nothing has happened. And I'm advancing in age. Where are these descendants my husband was told so many years ago? So she becomes a catalyst between God and Abraham. Go to my slave, I will give her to you. Go and sleep with her. Make her your wife. I don't think, and I cannot imagine that happening in the eyes of my wife, Jenia. Not in bad taste, but well, I know my wife. This cannot happen. I remember back at home, we used to have servants. We used to have a girl working in the house and a young man working in our garden. I cannot imagine Jenny saying to the last girl we had in the house was Joyce. I cannot imagine Jenny saying, Gilson, you can have Joyce as your wife. I think the world will come to an end. Not in a bad taste, my dear wife, but this is the chaos this family was in. This is chaotic, ladies and gentlemen. How can a mother with all her senses hand over the servant to the husband? How can that be? Where the two have been joined on this earth, they've been joined up there as well. So where is this catalyst coming in? You can have your servant as the wife. But God will use those problems that we have in our lives. God will use the problems that we have to bring peace. As we are going along, Sarai is putting herself in between. She jumps into conclusion to say, well, I think God has failed here. Sarai's action reminds me of that lady that I met in the hospital. She said, I don't see any point. I act according to my feelings. Sarai is acting according to her feelings right now. She's becoming a good Samaritan because she thinks God has been silent for too long. And she cannot handle the silence of God. Up to this point, God had not spoken to his friend Abraham for 10 years. If you heard in our passage, it says he had lived in this place for 10 years. That 10 years is reminding you that God hadn't spoken to Abraham for 10 years. So Sarai was worried. Things are not working according to what she wants. So she calls herself a good catalyst. The Bible says she took Hagar, her servant, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. Remember also in Genesis 3, there is a certain lady. She took a fruit and ate. She gave to her husband. We are repeating those things again. We don't learn. Why? We must learn. God is with us. Every time. That's why I said, God is good. Always. It must always be in our minds that God is with us, even though he's silent. He is always here. Omnipresent. Sarai gives instruction to this poor fellow. She thinks her proposal is a good idea. But she's creating problems, not only for her family, but even for the generations to come. If you look today, there's chaos in the Middle East. You agree with me? Those people are brothers, but they are fighting day in, day in, night. The Bible has said it. You will be always fighting your brothers. You will always live in hostel with your brothers. This is where it started. Sarai has created this problem. This was not God's plans in the first place anyway. But she took it in her own hands so that I can have a family. That's not God's plan. God said Abraham will have a lot of descendants. But Sarai is taking problems into her own hands. That wasn't a problem to God in the first place anyway. God was training Abraham and Sarai to see how strong their faith is in God. You remember the story of Solomon as well. When Solomon was asked by God, God said, what do you want? And Solomon said, no, God, give me knowledge. So God gave him knowledge. Then what follows? All the wealth came in. Now he's got the knowledge. He can control. But he also lost it in the end. When there was too much wealth, he went for a lot of women instead of one. My Bible says I must have one wife, one husband. The Solomon story about, let's put it aside. Right, or let's go back to Abraham. Before he took action on what the wife was saying, he must have found out, is the source of this action or the source of what we're about to do reliable? Before you use something, find out about the source. When I'm at home on the computer trying to download something or to upload something, I always check if the source is a reliable source. Sometimes also when you click something, there is a window that comes in which says, are you sure you want to download from this site? So if you are content and you know it's okay, you click and they start downloading. I did that mistake one time. There was something, oh, there's a lot of mistakes on your computer. Can you click here so that we can clear them off? Unknown to me, I clicked. Up to now, I cannot take off that pop-up. It still pops up when I'm doing my work on my computer. So always before you use any information, check the source. Gentlemen, let's face it here. Even if I was in Abraham's shoes, Jenea, when she puts her head here and speaking in a sweet voice, which is like honey, I don't even need to check the source. I'll just comply with what she's saying. So, we can blame Abraham now because we are reading between the lines. But, if you are in that situation, your lovely wife, who is joined to you, you will comply with what she's saying. But anyway, Abraham gives a different scenario to what he did in chapter 14. Abraham is said in that story, after being victorious in that battle, the king of Sodom wanted to hand over all the loot to him. And he said, no, don't give glory to me. Give glory to God. Why didn't he use the same window that shows him the source of his information right now and glorify Jehovah and say, Sarai, what about our God? You remember what I told you, what God has said. Always check your source. Sarai suggested that let's do exactly what the customs around us are living, the way they live. Forget about the covenant with God. God spoke to Abraham in a vision and Abraham has forgotten. Maybe God has been speaking to you this morning. He's saying, I want to free you. You must be free indeed. Come out of the chaos that is around you. You can only come out of that chaos if God is the one who is holding the relay button. Not you. Not Sarai. I'm pleased about Sarai, one thing. She is trying to distance herself with all this chaos. But she is the one who started it all together. She handed the servant to her husband. And now she's saying, look, she is ill-treating me. It's your fault. Abraham also says, do what you can do with your servant. She is your servant. They are all washing the dead linen in the public. And they are distancing themselves with it. It's common in life. Mistakes are not made by us. But we always point them to other people. Am I right or wrong? You always say, it's not me. It's so and so. What about yourself? What have you done? You are living in a chaotic situation. Because you are always blaming others. This is exactly what was happening with Sarah here. She brought this chaotic situation in the family, but she's not accepting what is happening. God is always present. Though Sarai thought God has been absent for 10 years, God was there. So, set yourselves free out of this chaos. Come out of self-imprisonment. Don't live according to your feelings. Live according to your faith. This silence of God, Abraham thought God is no longer available. And he relied on his feelings, which is common human beings, isn't it? At this point, I will say Abraham had a vote of no confidence in God. Why do I say so? Because he relied on his feelings and on his wife. That is lack of faith. But what had God told Abraham? I think Abraham should have visited the book of Romans where Paul says everything works for good for those who love God. Romans 18 verse 28. Abraham could have reminded himself, oh, my God is a God who works for the good of us, who are chosen to work for him. But he forgot about that one. Abraham and Sarai, if they had a child in their early teens, they would not see the miracle God was going to perform. Yes? Imagine a 70 or 80-year-old woman giving birth. Isn't that a miracle? Isn't that a miracle? It is a miracle. God delayed it for his purpose. But someone is saying it is a problem. Yes? To God, it's not a problem. He is delaying it for a purpose. He wants your faith to grow. That's why he's delaying that solution for you. God uses problems to make them solutions. God uses problems to bring peace in your life. And to you, you say, I'm in a problem. Are you going to be a hugger and run away from your problems? No, don't run away. Listen to the promise. Out of the promise to the prison, or from the prison to the promise. Here is the promise. Hagar ran away. And when she was at the spring of water, that God who has been said to be absent for 10 years speaks for the first time through the incarnate Jesus. This is the first time of salvation. A Gentile is come to God. This bit of the Bible pleases me as a preacher. One person is brought back to God. The first Gentile to receive salvation. What happens? The incarnate Jesus speaks to Haggai. Haggai, where are you coming from and where are you going? This is how we always fail exams. We don't answer the question as it is being asked to us. Haggai's answer was supposed to be, I'm running away from Sarai and I'm going back to Egypt. She didn't answer that way. She said, I'm running away from my mistress. What does the incarnate Jesus say? He say, can you go back? If I was myself, I was going to ask myself, how do I approach my mistress and Abraham with such a difficult situation? But she didn't ask those questions. She complied with what Jesus said. Incarnate Jesus said, the angel of God who was speaking to her, go back to your mistress. It's not written anyway, but if you read that whole story, at the end of the story, you find out Hagar gave birth to a son. As the angel had said, name him Ishmael. Abraham named him Ishmael. So, I believe she went back. Okay? At the spring in the desert. Imagine yourself in a desert. It's with the heat so intense. And your only survival point is the oasis. That's the spring of water. Here, we've got the oasis where salvation is brought to this Gentile Egyptian woman. She accepted what the angel of God was saying. Go back. So you see, the three P's that Sarai had created. She had created a problem. She had created a proposal. And the prize, which was the sin of Abraham sleeping with his servant. The angel of God combines these to make peace. He sends Hagar back. There's peace. So the three P's have been consumed into one. There's peace now. Salvation brings peace to us. We mustn't live according to our feelings. We must live according to our faith in the Lord. God is not absent. He might appear to be absent because he doesn't answer your prayer as you want it now. Because we always demand God to answer now. God doesn't answer that way. He knows what is good for you. I remember in the last time in our Bible study in the book of Luke, he says God knows what's best for you. When he's delaying the answer that you are asking for, accept it. Mark says, receive. When you ask something, receive it. Once you have opened your mouth, say, God, can I have this and this? Whatever you'll be mentioning. And receive it. He's already given it to you. So today, the message that I have brought to you is the peace that the Lord promises you. It is for you to live within your faith, not within your feelings. We've read that Sarai, in her anger, the first time we are hearing about anger, she lashes out at Abraham, blaming him for all this mercy that was going in their family. He's right. Why did he accept all this mercy? I think if I was myself in that situation, I could have been, you know, that song we sing, Men of Faith, rise up and sing of the great glorious King. You are strong when you feel weak. When you visit that window, when you feel you are weak, you are strong. Don't let that weigh you down. Shout to the north. Shout to the south. sin to the east and to the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. He's always with you. Don't forget that. Those three P's I explained to you. Haggai has run away, as I've already said to you. He's at this point. Peter was in a similar situation at one time. He went to Jesus and said, the Pharisees are around me, Lord. They are after the tax. What do I do? I don't have any money. Jesus said, go and cast out your net. The fish that you catch it, open its mouth. He found 4 drachma in his mouth. And Jesus said, go and pay tax with that. Peter was at a desert at this time. He didn't know what to do. The same applies in our lives as well. At least we've got somewhere where to go and say, God, here we are. Not like that woman I visited in hospital. She's got nowhere where to go. She doesn't know. She works according to her feelings. But if we work according to our faith, we know somewhere where we can go when we think we are in trouble. God doesn't have trouble. God has solutions if we call to him. So Peter did the same as well. Jesus said, go and get the man out of that fish and go and pay the tax. Problem solved. Problem no more. But there's peace in Peter's mind. Do you find yourself this morning in a desert? You are by that spring of water this morning. There is a voice that is speaking to you this morning that go back to where you are coming from. You don't solve problems by running away from them. No. I don't agree with you. You have got to go back to your problems. God has got no problems. He's got solutions because he is a God of peace. Hallelujah. So if you are at that pool this morning, that spring of water, reminds me of baptism. Once you have been baptized, you are in that family which doesn't know of problems. So this morning, Christ is saying, yes, to you I might have been silent for 10 years, but I am always with you. I am there to comfort you. So Christ is there to comfort you this morning. Paul, in his letter to Philemon, he sends Onesimus back to his master. In the letter, he pleads with his friend, accept the runaway servant. Accept him as a brother, not as a slave, thereby bringing peace. This is how God works. We might think it's a problem, but not in the eyes of God. In the eyes of human beings, it's a problem, but not in the eyes of God. I've got a book here that I was reading. Christian, set yourself free. In here, Graham and Shelley Powell, his husband and wife, they say, claim by faith your complete freedom. Believe you have already received. Did you get me? Claim by your faith your complete freedom. You have already received. Whatever you are asking for, don't flag trouble in front of you. Flag peace from God. Finally, my brothers and sisters, we need to free ourselves from that self-imprisonment that we are living in. We have got nowhere to take our problems. I'm blessed in here, we take them to Jesus. What about those outside who are not in this church this morning? Where do they take their what they tend to be problems to? Nowhere. Instead, we should live in the comfort. Christ said, I will send a counselor to you who will guide you, who will lead you. And the Father is going to send him to you. Let Christ turn our problems, proposals, and prizes into one P, which is peace. Christ said in the book of John, peace I leave with you, peace I give to you. This is the freedom we need. We need peace. John 14 verse 27 says, peace be with you. Peace I live with you. You know why we run away from our problems? It is because we believe in our feelings, not in our faith. Pride, stubbornness, and rebellion. These are the reasons why we run away from problems instead of submitting. We need to submit as Hagar did. She submitted when she received the message of salvation and she went back. Are you going back where you are running from, away from today? The angel of God is saying, go back to where you are coming from and go and solve those problems. The best way to solve the problem is to call the name of Jesus. Anyone who hears this name, Jesus, even demons, they flee. So go back to your mistress and solve those problems. The writer of Proverbs says, don't do this alone. He says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings. In all your ways, submit to him and he'll make your path straight. This is why at the end of this service, we will sing, the Lord is my shepherd. Give him the great honor. He will turn your problems into joy. Amen. Let's pray together, please.